Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. I am Randy.
I am Dak.
And I am Ryan.
And we are all together again.
We are Woo-hoo! Back, baby.
Boys, we're here.
We're back.
We are back.
Woo! It's been a while.
It hasn't been. Well, it feels like it's been a long, long time. Like since we've.
Yeah, for the first time in forever.
There you go. And like you were saying earlier, we haven't been.
I see what you did there.
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
And we haven't been together since our guys trip.
Golly.
Which seems like a long time ago, yeah. But it was only a month ago.
That's a long time.
That's true.
Well, listen, fellas, I couldn't be more excited for us all to be here, to be back, to, you know, kind of be in the studio, to share our thoughts on some things. And this week, we are doing something a little unique. You know, same concept, different flavor.
Yeah.
This flavor is blue.
It's a blue slushy.
It's not the green milk.
This isn't green. This is blue. So this week, everybody, we are doing the ultimate Epcot rankings. And we're doing it, I'm going to say live, even though it's not really going to be live by the time you listen to it. But it's live because we're doing it for the first time on the fly right here. No advanced prep going into this. Let's get it on.
Yeah, and go ahead, Dak.
Well, I was going to say, I think there's going to be some controversy.
I know there's going to be some controversy.
I think there's going to be some heated
Dak
feelings.
Dak is going to try and mess some stuff up. I know exactly what he's going to do.
Listen, yeah, it's going to get, this may be the first episode where we really get after each other.
Yeah.
And all friends and nicey-nice up to Epcot.
Get your popcorn ready.
And we had to put off the Epcot rankings until I was able to do a certain ride at Epcot. So that's why this is number, you know. Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Oh, we will.
So listen, my wife was, we went out on our date night last night and she was asking me like, what's the podcast about tomorrow? And so I started telling her it's about Epcot and she and I started going through our own little personal rankings between the two of us. And to be fair, I know I'm going to rock the boat here, but to me, Epcot, I'll just start off by saying it. Like Epcot, to me, I don't get super excited about all of the rides there.
Blasphemy.
Yeah. I'm more excited about eating at Epcot, I think.
That's respectable.
I mean, I get it. There is a lot to be at. Okay. But I get it. But I mean, no shade.
Yeah.
You guys know me. My purpose of the theme park is the adrenaline driving attractions. That's my purpose there. Eating is actually a secondary thing for me. That's not so, you know, even my wife and I, she is going to plan and look at some of the food and stuff and she's going to look in advance. I honestly, I'm like, oh yeah, great. I know there's going to be good stuff to eat. I'm going to eat some good stuff while I'm there, but I actually don't even go out of my way too often for food. There are some things, as you know, I'm going to get my cookie in Epcot. Okay.
That's right.
Caramel Kuchen.
The caramel Kuchen. Right. And I'm going to get my DVC discount when I buy it too. So it's even sweeter.
Yeah.
But, anyways, yeah.
No, I'm dreaming about the food like days in advance.
I know you are.
I'm just thinking about it.
You guys are always, you
I'm
start,
thinking
you
about
start,
it right
you,
now.
Before we go on a trip, you start, you know, the group text starts going about pictures and this food and that food. And I'm like, it's not even crossing my mind. It literally is not, except for, you know, my pizza. Now, I know that you guys didn't enjoy Viennapoli as much last time as we have in the past. I think it's because you all decided to, you know, be a little bit of sheeple and go with the masses instead of picking what you really wanted.
That's 100% what happened.
And yeah. I did not do that. I stuck with what I wanted, and I didn't care what anybody else did. Yeah. I got my white pizza, and it was delicious.
And it was fantastic. Yeah. I should have just gone with the straight pepperoni, which is my go-to.
You know, I think in the end, we ultimately saved some money on that particular meal by deciding to kind of go in. But, you know, here it is.
Here we go.
Expectations, right?
Yeah.
If you walk in expecting to have a fantastic thing and then you deviate from the plan, then you can throw your expectations out the window. There
absolutely.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. Let's do it.
Yeah. So Epcot attractions. We had a few, even before the show started, we had a few debates on is this an attraction or not, but these are our official 11 attractions out of Epcot.
You know, and I think Epcot, I think with the recent opening of Cosmic Rewind and Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, I think Epcot has really become just a good, well-rounded park, in my opinion.
Yeah, Ryan, I totally agree. I think Epcot is one of those parks that is definitely on the rise with Disney. I think they've done a great job going in there, adding new attractions, new areas for people to, you know, play in and explore in. That new Moana area is amazing. If you catch it at the right
Journey
time.
Into Water.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful.
Well, it's one of those things, you know, Epcot is that park that for a while people tell me, it's like, oh, don't bother with Epcot. And I'm like, yeah, don't talk to me.
Yeah. Don't bother with me.
Don't bother with me then. You don't know what you're talking about. They're like, oh, Epcot's boring. Or, no, you need to understand what it is and why you're there and what you're trying to do. Now, to that end, I can understand in the past why people would think there's not a lot here, because if they're like me, they're looking for thrill attractions, right? So as a kid growing up, it wasn't that exciting, because really it felt like all there really was food. There was some attractions at the front of the park, but at the back, you know, other than the Nordic boat ride, you know, that there Maelstrom. Wasn't anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maelstrom.
Yeah.
Blast of the
past. But it's
right
gone. It's come a long, long way.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get into it. So we're just going to go 11 down, Ryan?
Lay the predicate, right? So let's first make sure everyone understands, what did we pick as an attraction? So there's 11.
There's 11. So we, again, if you go to the My Disney Experience app, go to the attraction tab, you know, on the map, you'll see a lot of attractions. Now, like you said, we're not including, there were a few that we decided not to include, like Journey, Moana's Journey of Water,
Turtle Talk with Crush,
that more like a show than anything. Yeah.
Basically, you needed to be able to get onto a ride vehicle.
Yes.
And that's what we're counting as attractions with a ride vehicle, whether it floats, whether it flies, whether it moves on a track, but something like that.
Yeah, and that's kind of the parameters that we've been using throughout all of our attraction ranking episodes is, can you get on it? Yes. Can you wait for it? Yes. Can you get a lightning lane for it? Yes. Some of the parameters. Is a seatbelt required? Yes. Need to take a Dramamine before you get on?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, yeah, let's do this. So, again, like Randy said, there was no pre-work done to this. This is all happening as we record right now. So, 11 attractions. We're going to start with our number 11. We're just going to spit them out each, and we'll see. And Randy's got a pen and paper. He's going to tabulate the totals for us to the end, and we'll see which of our attractions comes out number one. So, number 11, who do you got, Deck?
Mission Space.
Yeah, me too.
Yep, that's unanimous. That so makes this really easy.
In fairness, I have never rode this ride. I've never been on this ride.
that's our Texan grammar, right?
Yeah, there's no chance you're ever getting me on this ride. Zero.
Look, there's two flavors of this ride, orange and green. And it's two completely different attractions.
Yeah.
And it still rank at last both times. I've done them both.
Oh, really?
I threw up on one.
Nice.
Like, I didn't throw up after. I threw up on one. Okay.
Beautiful.
They provide you with a barf bag.
Yeah.
So that's everything you need to know. Listen, we've been doing this long enough that you know every single attraction you go on has a million warnings, right? The lawyers force you to have all of the warnings out there about every single attraction, no matter how tame it is. So as I'm walking through Mission Space Orange for the first time, and they keep repeating it audibly, and then there's a sign like every 5 feet that if you suffer from motion sickness, do not get on this ride, I ignored every single one. And it wasn't until I got into this very small claustrophobic, this is why Ryan hates it, vehicle.
Absolutely.
Ryan, so I'm already stealing your thunder, but until you get into this small claustrophobic vehicle that is a space shuttle simulator, like straight up, like if you go to space camp, it's the same kind of simulator they're using at space camp, okay? You get on there and I harness in, I pull the thing down, I got my restraints on, I look down, I'm like, wait a second, I've seen that bag before. Usually it's on an airplane.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Like, is this going to be a thing? And no joke, fellas, halfway through, all of a sudden, I got the sweats coming through, your mouth gets really dry, and I'm like, I'm about to lose everything I got.
It's coming.
And I did. I grabbed the bag.
Code V.
Puked in it. I get off the ride, and you just and I'm you walk
hand
past
it to the nearest
you're,
cast
you're
member.
Walking past the cast members. I threw it away myself, but they've got the look on their face like, here comes another dummy. Yeah. Couldn't follow directions.
Well, I'm stressing just listening to you talk about this because I feel the same way. I've done it two times. Mission Space Green, not the orange. And I've talked about this before. The last time I went on it, I literally walked up to the opening where you walk onto the attraction or to the simulator. And I look at my kids, look at the cast member. I'm like, I ain't doing it this time. And I walk off. I just couldn't do it. Couldn't force myself to do it. So
now I'll say this much about the green flavor. It's super boring, I think. So actually, orange is exhilarating because there is this high intensity thing. Like, you're under multiple G's of gravity while you're basically spinning in a circle on this thing, right? To simulate taking off and going into outer space. On green, you get to, I don't know if it's the ionosphere or something, but like, you don't get fully into space. You're basically doing like what I think John Glenn did the first time he circled the earth. They're like, oh, I went to space. I'm like, I guess kind of, right? No offense, Senator Glenn, but, you know, let's be honest. That was one small step for mankind. Mission Space, number 11.
If I could rank this lower, like, it's one of the, in my opinion, it's one of the worst rides in all of Disney World. So anyway, let's move on. Yeah, number 10. Randy, what do you have?
I got Living with the Land.
Interesting. Here's where we start to differ.
Yeah, I have Journey into Imagination with Figment.
Okay, so Dak and I are on the same page with this. I also have Figment.
Okay, so Figment with two 10s and Living with the Land with a 10. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and we're going to get a lot of hate from the Figment lovers because, I mean, you talk about having a cult following. Figment and that attraction, and we talked about this. We listened to another podcast, and another Disney podcast, and you know, this guy took his daughters, and they ended up coming out of that attraction with Figment being their favorite attraction.
Yeah.
Which I'm like,
what?
I don't understand it, because to me, it's
how old was this daughter?
You know, they're like five and seven.
Okay, then I get it. I get it.
I get kind of a Willy Wonka vibe. Hard to explain the you know, what's the theme here? What's the...
You say Willy Wonka vibe. You're talking when they're on the boat ride and they're going
through the tunnel.
Yeah, all the stuff. Yeah. This is the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka, by the way, right? I think that's 100% spot on. That's exactly what this kind of is. Here's the thing about Figment, fellas. Needs an update.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to it. I think the IP is great. I think there's an opportunity there. Just needs an update. Like, this is very much like 1992-ish, and I don't know when the ride opened, but it probably was right around that time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And that's a very specific point in the ride. Where
I love that song, by the way.
Where you have a face on a moon that looks just creepy. Anyway. Let's move on.
All right, moving on. Number 9, I got Living with the Land. So I just flip-flopped those two. It sounds
okay. Right. I have Finding Nemo. I have Seas with Finding, what is it? The Seas with Finding Nemo.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my number 9.
Yeah, I got Figment at 9.
So we're just
So we're kind of in the ballpark, right?
I will say, as a fellow gardener / landscaping lover, Living with the Land is very educational.
You know, it's actually, I would probably rank it higher if not for the sheer uncomfortable factor of the, for whatever reason, Disney has, they have a ton of boat rides, and I think this is by far the most uncomfortable boat attraction.
I think it's the exact same boat.
And maybe I'm pulling a Dax, like, no, the Tower of Terror.
I feel like it's the same boat that you get on at Three Caballeros. It's the same boat that you get on at Small World. Like, they mass produce these boats. I don't think they're coming up with a lot of different boat designs.
It just feels like the seat is not
as the same boat on Pirates, except it's not brown.
Small World. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
You know what, though? I'm going to look at this next. I want to see, like, hey.
I just feel like it's...
I'm actually literally going to go take pictures of all of the boats each time I ride a boat ride.
Okay, so maybe the boats are the same. Do that homework for us. But, and maybe because it's just it's a longer ride, just after a few minutes, I start aching. My back starts to hurt. My legs start falling asleep. I just feel like it's more of an uncomfortable, but I love the attraction.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. So I actually like the attraction. I like the content. I like the message. I think a few years ago, I didn't like the message as much. I felt like it was a little bit too propaganda-y, pushy. Mm-hmm. But I've now gotten to the point in my life where I'm like, we probably ought to start taking a little better care of the planet and being a little more, you know, wise with our resources. I guess I get it. And I don't feel like the message that they're promoting is really anything beyond that. Like, yeah, hey, guys, let's be smarter here at Walt Disney World. We're trying to be smart by these are the things that we do. And these are what our scientists are doing to help, you know, ensure that we have a renewable food supply for the future. And I think it's really clever. And you do get to see a lot of cool plants and vegetables. But if I want to tell you really why I like this ride the most, nap time. Sometimes you just need a little break, and why not do it on the water?
It's true.
I can't get comfortable enough to take a nap on that ride, but that's just me apparently.
Well, I can take a nap pretty much anywhere, so.
All right, Living with the Land. I'm sorry. That was number nine. So yeah. Number eight. So I have Living with the Land at number eight. That's my number eight.
I got Seas with Nemo.
Yep, I have Nemo as well. So basically, Nemo, Figment, Living with the Land, this is our 10, 9, 8 spot here.
Yeah, with Mission being number 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do enjoy, that's a great, one plug I will give for Nemo is that is a great ride to, if you just need some downtime with a toddler, take them on that ride. It's a very easy ride. It's generally always a walk-on. Why they have a queue that is 8 miles long, I'll never know. But you generally weave back and forth in the dark. But it's a very relaxing ride. It's fun. I think they've done a great job of updating it with the Nemo theming and then coming out into that gigantic aquarium there.
Yeah, that's really cool.
The
yeah.
seas. I just think it gives you a lot of downtime in an air-conditioned building to spend with a toddler, let them go crazy. There's some playground-type areas in there. Of course, there's several different aquariums in there. Good little cool-down pro tip place if you're having a toddler that needs some downtime.
And, you yeah. know, when we were there for our guys' trip, you know, at least I didn't notice that it was working. And one of my favorite parts about this attraction is outside.
Yeah, the seagulls.
Mine. I didn't hear them. I didn't hear them going.
They've been, I think, very hit and miss over the last couple of years. But I do love that so much. I actually have a pair of socks with the seagulls on there all saying mine. This is where I will just say, fellas, to me a little bit, the rankings are going to start to get a little interesting because it was hard for me to kind of figure out how I want to divide some of these up. I like the attraction.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Living with Land. I like the attraction. So even though it's ranking really far down my list, it's not indicative of whether I would do it
That's
or
a
not.
Good point.
Or whether I think we all kind of universally agreed on Spaceship Earth. Yeah, we could probably just get rid of this attraction mm-hmm. and there will be no love lost. And maybe you guys feel that way about Figment, but I feel like Figment with a refresh would be okay. But really, every single one of these on the list are ones that I will do every time I go if I can.
Which yep. is why I think we've talked about this, why Epcot is such a good park now. Yeah. Because it does have a lot of attractions that you don't feel like you need to skip because yeah. they're not very good. So, yeah. All right, number eight?
Seven.
Number seven? Oh, this is I may have
this a, is where it's going
to
start to get
I may have a surprise. All right. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure.
Okay.
At number seven for me. Wow. Dak just gave a look of absolute
yeah.
shock.
I got Spaceship Earth here.
What? Okay. You know what? I am also on the Spaceship Earth boat there, but really? I will say, Ryan, that this was really close. And when we get to six, you'll find that basically it was a coin toss for me on these ones. I actually spent the most time trying to figure out, do I put Spaceship Earth or Ratatouille at six or seven?
Okay. I hope they never, I don't know. There's something about Spaceship Earth that I hope that they just never change.
Yeah.
I love everything about it.
Dame Judi Dench is what Dame you hope Judi they never Dench. Change. Yes. I'm the same way. They're going to change it eventually, and that's going to be very sad to me, and then I'll probably boycott it for a moment. But I agree.
So we talked about this in our episode, right? There's this emotional, our episode without Ryan, there's this emotional connection for a lot of people on different attractions because that's what they grew up with or whatever the connection is there. I just don't have it with this one. This is just not one of those that ever connected with me, and so that's why I ranked it at number seven. It's fine. I think it's a nice, cool down, relaxing ride that you can take, and you learn about the Phoenicians. But other than that, I'm good. Like, I'm good with or without this.
And thank the Phoenicians.
Yeah, yeah, thankful for the Phoenicians.
And it definitely needs some refurbishment work done, especially when you get off the attraction and you're downstairs. And
I will say that, you know, the end of that attraction is, to me, the most surprising piece of neglect in
That is such a great way to say that.
I mean, it is. I call it a piece of neglect. Put it on a shirt. That's what it is. What the heck are we thinking? Why haven't we really done so? Now, it was cleaner last time I was there than I remember it being in a long time. But that's the other part of it. It doesn't even feel like it's been a clean area.
Yeah. It's almost as if they just have forgot. Like, they, if it were under lock and key, they have thrown away the key and decided, we're not going to put any money into this whatsoever. We're going to let this technology just
age out.
And it's probably been 20 years now since it was age out, in my opinion. At
least, fellas, remember this, though. Remember, as kids, right? That part of the area was one of the things I look forward to the most. That was part of the most amazing thing, is the interactive part of the end of Spaceship Earth. So I guess that's why it's so dadgum disappointing that I'm like, why aren't we keeping up with this?
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot, and I think it's appropriate here, you know, three of us Houstonians talking about this. We live in Space City. We've all been to Johnson Space Center probably more times than any of us can count. We remember actually when visiting Johnson Space Center back in the day, when there used to be a full playground and all these interactive things. When we first moved to Houston, we actually got season's passes to Space Center Houston because of that playground, just so we would have something for our children to do when we didn't have anything else and we were out of our mind. And I remember when they made the decision to remove that part from JSC, from Space Center Houston, and there's nothing there now. And every time I visited since, I'm like, what a complete waste of capital, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we could have something that would bring people in. Now there's nothing. And that's how I feel about this part of Spaceship Earth, the end of it. It's just a waste.
Yeah.
Like, we could do something that would really, just like we talked about in the last episode, Dak, generationally bridge a gap here.
Yeah.
And we're missing it.
And I think somehow, I don't know if it's a funding thing or what, but I think somehow they've moved, well, they haven't moved away from it. Like, they're willing to put these interaction areas of, like, Moana's Journey with Water in and different things. Epcot was built on these interactive, futuristic type of
the University of Energy Pavilion, frankly, the land was the same thing,
and somehow they've just been like, well, they'll just continue to do it, right? I think, and this is where I think Epcot is on the rise, is they're starting to update some of these things. They just need to do it on several of these other
tracks. And I mean, there have been no rumors at all about fixing underneath the ball at all.
Yeah. I think they're going to fix the Yeti animatronic at Expedition Everest before they do anything here.
Which, how long has that been down?
Yeah,
like years. More years than I can count.
Yeah. Now, let's give them some credit. What they've done to the outside of Spaceship Earth with the new lighting concept.
Spectacular.
Oh, just beautiful. Just amazingly beautiful. So, I probably prefer that over what's inside anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's move on.
All right, number six.
Number six.
So for me, I already gave it away, but for me, Ratatouille is number six.
I got Grand Fiesta.
I got Frozen.
Wow.
Whoa.
Completely different answers there.
Whoa.
I'm beside myself right now. I can't even look in Ryan's direction.
I think I'm a little bit in shock, I think.
Okay, so I think... What are you in shock about?
Well, that you would put Frozen.
Your decision making is.
Well, when you hear my top five, you're going, I think you're going to agree. Here's the thing with Frozen. I actually love the attraction. It's fantastic. I like it better than Maelstrom. It is such a wait. Unless you have a lightning lane for it, you are waiting minimum 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah,
now that's fair. The queue is a really fun queue.
Okay, a part of the queue.
A part of the queue. I think we're thinking of the same part.
Yeah, like once you get to Wandering Oaken's Pavilion, it's great. Getting up to that is a stinky morass of whatever, you know, of people cutting in the line and all sorts of... That's what drives me nuts about it the most, is it's such a weird queue, and I feel like every time I'm there without a lightning lane and I'm in there with everybody else, why is another group of 10 people all of a sudden just walking into the middle of this thing, right? Like, why does this line keep getting longer? I don't know why there's not better line enforcement on this attraction in particular.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think, well, let's not play to Ryan and even discuss this as a number six ride. So who did you, I'm sorry, say you had Remy's at six?
I put Ratatouille at six. Okay. Let me just talk about that. I get sick on it. It's a 3D ride. You know, I've had very mixed reviews when I've ridden it, whether I get sick or I don't feel sick. I don't know if it depends on how well my Dramamine is working or not, but you know, more often than not, I have to take my 3D glasses off to complete the attraction. And at that point then I'm walking around a little blurry and blind. I'm like, what was the point? Having said that, I think it's a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment in technology. I actually think it's an amazing attraction. I put it further down the list just because I can't personally enjoy it as often as I want to. And so it is an attraction that I will skip more often than not. Right. Yeah. Now, if everyone else wants to go, I'm going to go on it with you. But it's not one that I'll go out of my way for because I just physically have a hard time with it.
Yeah, and I don't have a you know, personally speaking, a deep connection to the movie Ratatouille. I think it's a great movie. I enjoy it. But personally, there's just not a connection to it like I have with the Pirates movies or some of the other classics, you know. So when we were there for our guys trip, that was the first time I got to do Remy's. I wasn't like overwhelmed by it, you know. And maybe this was my own fault because, listen, we have a thing on this show where we tell people do not watch YouTube videos before you get to experience it the first time. And I made the mistake of watching about a minute of a YouTube video.
You fool.
And I kind of shot myself in the foot probably.
Yeah.
Before getting on
the magic
attraction.
Was gone.
The magic was gone. So again, pro tip, do not watch a point of view. Do not watch a YouTube video until you get to experience it firsthand.
There are a couple of parts of that ride where I feel like, you know, and maybe small spoiler alert here. There's some prize on 4D effects that come with it, right? Whether it is water or whether it's heat. I feel like the last couple times I've ridden it, the water was dialed up a lot more and the heat was dialed down versus the very first time I did it, it was a little mind-blowing. I was like, wow, that was crazy. Of course, I was wobbly and my stomach didn't feel good, but the ride was amazing. But it's a great opportunity. I wish that we could get to a point where we did 3D rides that didn't require me to put glasses on. I could handle that. This isn't one of those.
Yeah.
All right. Number five.
Number five. This is where I've got Gran Fiesta Tour. Los Tres Caballeros. I just love saying it.
Yeah. So I love this ride. I love, well, let me tell you, my number five. Number five is Cosmic Rewind.
Oh my gosh.
So for how you guys feel about...
I knew it was going to happen, but that's okay. that's okay.
So what Remy's and Mission Space do for you guys, that's cosmic so far with my experience with it. Again, I've said over and over again on this show, I want to give it another chance. I just need to pick the right moment so it doesn't ruin
and
my
day. We tried to give you those chances and you wouldn't go on it with us.
Yeah, that first thing in the morning
I'm not hearing a word you're saying, Deck. Sorry.
Anyway. Makes me sick. I think it makes a lot of people sick. And so,
You know what's funny about that? I've never seen any. I've now ridden it, I don't know, more than a dozen times. I've never seen anybody throw up when they get off.
Yeah.
So I want to know about this, you know, makes me sick thing, right? There's no doggy bags.
That's a good point.
Like Mission Space.
Yeah.
I'm not discounting your experience. I do think that I understand what you're saying because I just said the exact same thing about Ratatouille.
Yeah.
I literally just said the exact same thing. So I can't fault your reasoning. I think it's wrong, but I can't fault it.
Yeah, I'd love to give it another chance. And I just, again, I want to pick my spot so that I'm not ruining my whole day by, if it truly is just one of those rides that makes me motion sick, then I don't want to ruin the rest of my day.
Are you a Dramamine guy? Do you take it?
No. Literally, this is the only ride I've ever felt this way on.
Yeah.
Ever.
I will say this, you know, I suffer actually from pretty acute motion sickness. It hits me hard. I have to take Dramamine before I do it. But having done that, I've actually never had a problem on this ride, never even slightly woozy. And so, you know, I make sure that I take it far enough. Usually, actually, I take it first thing in the morning when I wake up and I'm booking my stuff at 6:45, 7 a.m. And I'll take my pill right then. It's a 24-hour pill, non-drowsy, gets me in, gets me going. And I've been good with it. But I understand what you're saying. You do need to give it another chance, though, because...
Yeah. I want to.
Well, I don't want to spoil anymore.
All right. Your number five?
My number five, actually, with Ryan, I'm at the Three Caballeros.
Okay.
Now, you all know this actually is like one of my favorite rides of all time. Okay. Yeah. So to say it's number five, I think is a testament a little bit to the other ones to come ahead. But... Mm. Like, there is not a time I will go to Epcot and not ride this ride.
Yeah.
You can always get on it.
Yeah.
There's never a wait.
This is definitely one of those rides where if you, well, at least for me, I agree with you. Like, if you don't ride the Grand Fiesta and the Three Caballeros, I think you've missed out on Epcot and what it has to offer you.
Okay. Let's play a little magical scenario fast. If they were to change the theming of that to Coco.
I would be pissed.
You can't use those words on... This is a family show.
I would be really upset.
I would be very ticked as well, yeah.
And I've worried about that because now as you walk into the pyramid there, there is a lot of Coco theming.
Yeah, they've got
the Dia de los Muertos, you know, kind of statue and stuff out there. I am concerned. Has nothing to do with Coco, by the way. Actually, I love Coco. I think it's a great movie. I think the songs are tremendous. Yep. But don't mess with my Donald Duck. Okay.
So that's what I think saves it, is because of Donald.
Yep.
Because Donald still has the hold emotionally for a lot of people.
Yep. Well, and here's the thing.
If it was just Jose and...
Yeah.
What? I can't remember the other guy's name.
Jose Carioca and...
I don't know why it's...
Now I keep wanting to say Miguel because Coco's on my mind, and that's not it.
But if it was just those two...
Panchito.
If it was just those two, I think we'd be in danger of losing that ride. But I think because Donald's there, that holds it.
Here's the thing. This is the only Donald Duck ride.
I was about to say that.
The only one. Yep. Okay? There's no other Donald Duck ride. Like, Donald is the guy that I think gets kind of... You know,
the shaft.
He gets the shaft. He gets crapped on a little bit. He doesn't get his due because his cartoons are the best ones.
Yeah.
The character is probably one of the best ones. Like, why don't we do more with Donald? Like, even at Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, Daisy gets a bigger stage than Donald does, right? All you see is Donald get upset when he's doing the thing and the stuff goes on his eyes with the mustard and the ketchup.
Donald's an OG.
So, yeah. Three Caballeros, I know that we're ranking it, you know, 6-5-5, but this is a tremendous attraction.
Yeah.
Very calm, very tame, hilarious. Like, I always get off with a smile.
And you get to float through the restaurant there, which always smells amazing. Just the ambiance,
the lighting.
And by the
way, it
has
great food.
It's got great food.
Yeah.
All right, number four. Are we at number four?
We're at number four.
Yeah. I've got Spaceship Earth. My number four.
Okay.
I got Test Track.
Okay. And I've got Soarin' at four.
Okay. Man, I'm excited to see how this is going to play out. I know Randy's over there he's adding things up as we speak. So.
And I know as my wife listens to this later, she's just like, he's doing the math? Oh, okay. I do have a calculator, everyone.
We've already hit Spaceship Earth. So, Dak, what was your number four?
Test Track. Yeah, I just, I love Test Track. I think it's a fun ride. I think again, it's one of those areas where I think if you did an upgrade, just even a minimal one, come on, Chevy.
Oh, it's coming. Test Track 3.0 has been announced.
Okay.
It's coming.
I think it's due, right? Like, I think it's a great ride. I think it's a great system. I think they just need to update, like, the car design. I think that could be more not the Minecraft looking car that you build, and then inside when you're going through all the different tests, you got the old fluorescent
dude, it's dirty inside.
First of all,
I'm that's the first thing I'm going to say is I just feel like it's just like I don't know if we need to clean the carpets, scrub the walls, do whatever. It just doesn't feel clean anymore. And the purpose of this ride is to kind of take you into the future.
Yeah.
And I'll just say this much. If you go through the queue at Cosmic Rewind, which has this pristine feeling of like a almost a sterile environment, even the smell, whatever they're using on the smell, it's to keep that smelling as fresh and clean as it is a couple years into it now. That's what they need to do over at Test Track to give you this feeling of, oh, I'm moving into the future. This is the evolution of automotive, you know, but it's not. It does. I agree with you. It feels a little dated. It feels a little dirty.
Yeah. So I think with that upgrade, it'll be perfect again. Like I really enjoy this ride. There's
well, it's almost as if they, I mean, pre-pandemic, you know, pre-park closure 2020, everything was just, it seemed to be working really smoothly with that ride. The interactive part, as you walk in, you get to create your own vehicle.
Yeah.
Post-pandemic.
There's a lot of broken components.
Even
if you make a car, you're not going to see the results on half of the screens that are there.
The screens look like they need to be updated, like they're 20 years old.
I even agree with Dak's point about when you make the car, like that's not what the cars are going to look like in the future. Yet.
Yeah.
No, okay. So why are we doing it that way? Like, let's actually design something that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Did we think that this is what it was going to be like in the late 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah, I think so.
Did we?
We really thought cars would look like that with this like big humpy thing on the side and the, like a fiery, a plasma injector or whatever. Yes. Like that's back to the future, man.
Yeah.
I have a comment. I'll save it though until we get it a little further ahead of us. So.
All right. Number three.
Number three. I have Soarin'.
Okay. I put Remy's. This is where I put my Remy's.
Wow.
Okay. And Test Track comes in at 3 for me.
Okay.
Last comment I want to make about Test Track. It ranks high for me because it remains the fastest attraction in all of Disney parks.
Yep.
So you don't go any faster than that.
I was about to say this. The reason why it ranks so high for me, which I'll skip it, it's number 2 for me, is because of the last 30 seconds of that attraction is when you come out of the pavilion and you drop down and you hit the track and you hit that bank at whatever 45, 50. No, it's like 70 degree bank.
Yeah. Something
crazy like that. And you're going 65.8 miles an hour. Like it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
it's a great ride.
Yeah.
Number 2.
Well, I already said it. Test Track for me.
Yeah. This is where I put Frozen for me. I just really enjoy that ride. I think it's, I don't know. Maybe it's the girl dad in me. I don't know. I just really enjoy that ride. I think the animatronics are amazing because they're the new style animatronics. Yep. Just everything. I agree with you.
But they're not the new style because doesn't Shanghai have...
Yeah, it's even
have
getting better. Like
better animatronic?
Yeah.
The Tiana one is going to be pretty amazing.
Mind-blowing from what I've seen.
Yeah.
I also rank Frozen at 2.
Yeah.
Is where I put it up there. It is, and I'm not a girl dad. I'm a boy dad. No, I have no daughters. One day I'll have daughters-in-law and probably some granddaughters, but not yet. But I will look forward to going on it with them. But I love this ride. I absolutely love this attraction. I like singing along with it. I think it's a lot of fun that in terms of the boat ride, you get to go forwards and backwards for a portion of time, you know, theming is really, really well done. The queue is pretty good to a certain point. We discussed that, but, I also prefer to only go on it though, if I have a lightning lane.
Yeah. And I'll say this about Frozen. I know I ranked it for me number 6, but I am a girl dad as well. And I think when Frozen came out, our daughters were at that perfect age, you know, getting all the Frozen dolls, all the Frozen, toys and memorabilia. And so we have grown up. So there is that, we talked about personal connection. Yeah. Frozen. There's definitely that connection that I feel to the movies because of my daughters growing up with Frozen and singing the songs and watching Frozen every other evening because they just love it so much. And looking forward to Frozen 3 coming out.
I love it. I mean, usually I'm not a big fan of being dumped into a some sort of marketing store where you get off the ride and all of a sudden now you're bombarded with all kinds of Frozen toys and paraphernalia that your daughters all want to buy. I mean, I'm totally into that on this one, right? Like, I just love being in that little Norway store and having all those Frozen.
You know, and another thing too, and let's plug the Disney Plus series Into the Unknown, The Making of Frozen 2.
Oh, it's amazing.
That is an amazing documentary. So if you guys haven't seen it yet, it's on Disney Plus. It's about I think it's a 6-episode series. And, oh, that is a beautifully made, amazing documentary.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
One of my favorites as well. So,
all right. Here we go. Number one, I think you two going to be pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's only 3 votes left here. And yeah. So, you know, for me, Guardians is number one.
For me as well.
I know for Ryan, it's number one. I know for you, it's going to be Soarin'.
Yeah, Soarin'. So we talked about, this is that part of our conversation last night with my wife on our date night is like, I don't know what it is about Soarin', but I absolutely love it. Now, to a fault, I think it's absolutely, again, like, I think we just keep hammering this, but would love to see a digital upgrade of the actual footage and some new material. My wife brought up an excellent magical scenario, which was she would love it if Soarin', if you went in, it was kind of like a new movie.
They had multiple films.
Like they do with Star Tours, right? Where you just don't know what you're going to get, but you're soaring over the world.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, and you're just going to different places all over the world. Like Star Tours, you're going to get a different adventure each time. She's like, I don't know why they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. My that is one of my big beasts with Soarin'. You know, I ranked it at 4, right? So of all of us, I ranked it the lowest. You know, a couple of issues that I take with it is the dated material, right? We're at a point right now where Disney World has been running Soarin' Over California, which is a unique to California version of this attraction. It's just a different film is all it is.
Yeah.
It's the exact same ride, but it's just a different film. And I think that's great. I actually think I prefer that film compared to the other one. It does a lot of really cool, unique things. It is there's a unique smellitzer for different scenes as you go through it so that you get to kind of feel like you're more in that particular scene. But I do take a little issue with the dated quality of the video. And I take an issue, too, with the fact that, you know, this was certainly revolutionary when it came out in terms of what they did. I mean, the concept was built basically on an Erector set, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, oh, I wonder what I could do here. And he built an Erector. And sure, that was great. But not every seat is a good seat on that ride.
Right.
And if you're in certain spots on it, the video is so warped, right, mm-hmm. where it actually is curving at the wrong thing. To me, it completely takes away from the experience.
Yeah.
And I kind of struggle. So I know that for a fact, if you're going to be on it, you want to be in flight group B. And if you can be in group B and in the middle lane, which is, I think, like row 2 or 3, that's where you want to be. If you're going to be at the bottom or you're going to be at the top, and especially if you're going to be on the sides, you're going to get a warped view of it. But if you can be in the middle, that's great.
Yeah, totally agree.
One of the best attraction soundtracks is Soarin'. I love the soundtrack from Soarin'. Now, Dak, so because this is Disney World, your favorite is Soarin', or number one, was it's Soarin' Over the World, right?
No, actually, so I was going to say that. Man, I love everything about Soarin' Over California. Like, I just, I was so excited when it was on over there in Disney World the last time we went on the guys' trip. I don't know what it is, but like when they're flying over, I think it's the Midway, that aircraft carrier.
Yeah. And then they're going through San Diego. And
yeah. And then there's, I can't remember which group of fighter jets it is, but
the Thunderbirds.
The Falcons? I think it's the Thunderbirds.
Yeah. Okay. Man, it was, I got goosebumps all over me while we were watching that on our guys' trip. I really love it. And then I think part of it also is my other knock on Soarin' in Epcot is it's just kind of a weird, it seems disjointed type of environment and queue. So like in California, you go into what looks like an actual airline hangar, an old time airline hangar. Whereas at Epcot, you go into this building and you go down this flight of stairs and it looks like you're going into the basement and then you go up these ramps. It just, it doesn't feel like flight control. So again, as part of that upgrade that we keep, you know, harping on, it'd be nice if they did some type of upgrade where you actually felt like you were in some sort of an airport or in some sort of a, you know, hangar or something.
It's a little weird. I agree.
That ties you into that theming a little bit better.
You know, they do a better job of this, I think, at Disneyland.
Yeah, yeah.
Being in the actual hangar. Disney World, it's kind of strange. I will also say this about the queue at Disney World. You know, ideally, they have this thing where you can play this trivia game as you go along, but you don't really get a chance to do it. And
yeah, because you have to be there on a day where it's crowded and not have a lightning lane. So you'll be standing in line if you want to do that.
And I'll just tell you, if I'm that far back having to wait for it, I'm not riding that attraction.
Yeah.
Right? I agree.
I'm just not. So I agree. So that comes in basically, so that's Soarin'. Let's talk about Guardians for a second, though.
Okay, so I was of the three of us, I was the last one to experience this.
Let me ask you this question. Did I overhype it?
No.
Thank you.
No. No, and we talked about this on a previous episode. So we did it twice during our guys' trip. The first time I had a massive headache.
Yeah,
and that attraction did not help the headache at all.
Yeah, no.
But the next day I was prepared and got the full force of what this attraction is. So, and I, again, I did not watch any point of view videos, and I don't want to spoil it on this episode. I'm not going to say much about it in terms of the actual ride vehicle itself or the attraction, but there were some surprises for me I was not expecting that just enhanced the experience. The fact that it's a little bit of a longer attraction, longer ride, it's a smooth ride. The music was amazing. I was blown away by it. And I'm glad we waited to do the Epcot rankings episode because I was skeptical that it was going to meet expectations.
Because I was hyping it so much.
You and then just people online were hyping it up. I just was like, now this is going to be hard to really meet my expectations. And it was fantastic. It far exceeded my expectations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. I mean, other than myself, I really haven't heard anybody who doesn't absolutely love that ride. Just love it. Like not, oh yeah, that's a great ride. No, they like love that ride. There's so many people that I talk to.
It is unique in roller coasters. There is nothing like this anywhere, right? Because you're getting more than just the fast track and you're getting more than a bunch of static, you know, props that you go through. You know, I think a little bit about Rock and Roller Coaster, which is a tremendous, tremendous attraction. I think about the Incredicoaster at Disneyland, same, and absolutely incredible roller coaster, but you're stuck with these static props and it doesn't ever really change there. And what Guardians does by bringing in actual video mixed with props, mixed with it basically being a dark coaster, but not completely dark, mm-hmm. because there's video going on, you've got audio, there's a story, the pre-show that kind of sets you up for it to make it make sense. And then the revolving soundtrack of songs where each time you ride it, you could get something kind of different. And that the beat of music will enhance your experience each time too. There's just nothing like it. And I get excited for that ride alone every time I go to the parks. Like that's what I want to do. I just do it over and over again. It's that much fun.
And I feel like they did, in terms of construction, I feel like these ride vehicles, they're super comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 6'3 with shoes, 210 pounds, I'm not huge, you know, but I'm tall and, you know, I was totally comfortable.
Yeah.
Didn't feel squished, didn't feel, claustrophobic. Just was, it was a pleasant, pleasant experience.
You get photos on the ride, which I think is a plus. Not all of the new rides do that, right? I wish they did. I really feel like there should be a photo on every single attraction, but it's not the case. But you do get them here. I just, man, I get so excited. I know that for a lot of people, because the two newest attractions are this and Tron, they want to kind of continually compare them. I don't compare the two. And my youngest son, who loves to do rankings on everything, like, tell me what you think is the best. Like, he wants to know, you know, always that thing. I actually don't compare Guardians and Tron at all, because it's a completely different experience. It's a completely different type of thing. They're both roller coasters, yes, but they're not the same kind of roller coaster. It's not the same kind of experience all the way from the queue and everything going into it. So I just don't even compare it. I love them both separately for what they are. And better yet, I don't ever have to pick one over the other because they're not even in the same park.
Yeah. All right. So that's our list.
All right. So I got them. I got the breakdown.
Yeah. You want to give us our breakdown here, Randy?
Okay. So at number 11, no surprise here. Mission Space.
Okay.
At number 10 is Journey into Imagination with Figment.
Okay.
At number 9, we have Living with the Land. Hmm. At number 8, we have The Seas with Nemo and Friends. At number 7, we have Spaceship Earth, which, interestingly enough, when you actually do the math, was a solid 6.
Hmm.
Okay, but it ranks in at 7.
Okay.
And then tied for 6th, with an average of 5.3, is both Ratatouille and The Three Caballeros.
Okay.
Okay, so that's tied for 6. So now we're going to skip all the way over to 4, and Frozen comes in at 4. Okay. Scored a 3.3. That comes in at number 4. Test Track is a solid 3. Okay. Scored 3, came in 3. 2 is Soarin', scoring a 2.7. And then at number 1, despite Dax trying to screw the system and giving it a 5... Guardians Mission Cosmic Rewind comes in at number 1, scoring a 2.3.
So what was the difference between number 1 and number 2 again?
2.3 versus 2.7.
Ooh, I almost got you.
So you almost did.
You did, but I gamed the system equally myself, giving Soarin' a 4.
Yeah. So what's going to be interesting? So we've done now all 4 parks at Disney World with our rankings, right? And we've been leading up to here in the next month or 6 weeks or so doing an ultimate tournament of champions, per se, you know, all 4 parks. Not going to take all the attractions from the parks, but we're going to take probably the top 32 or so and pit them against each other. And it's just going to be a straight up and down vote, us 3, and that's going to be it. Oh, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see when some of these attractions.
This is where it's going to be interesting. Now we are going to have to compare Tron.
We're
going
to have to compare. It just we'll see how they line up in the bracket. I'm working on that. So we'll see. You know.
Wow.
How it's gonna play out when we put a ride like Cosmic.
Look, spoiler, I'm gonna be shocked if they're not 1 and 2 flipped in one way or another. I'm gonna be shocked.
Okay.
It's gonna be a great national championship game.
Yeah.
Final 4.
And there's gonna be some gamesmanship going on here behind the scenes.
But you start talking about rides like Cosmic, which we've just talked about it. I love it. But thinking about putting Cosmic against a ride like Pirates, which 2 completely different attractions.
Sure.
But, you know, for...
And Dax got a look on his face like,
Pirates
are
is like,
we even
Pirates
having this conversation?
Pirates holds a lot of nostalgia factor. Which one would you choose? It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So...
That'll be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
We going to throw in any Disneyland, or we're going to save that for...
I was hoping to do Disneyland, but I think in the time frame that we have given ourselves, we'll need to do Disneyland.
Yeah.
And an updated Tournament of Champions next year.
Okay.
So, but we'll just do the 4 parks. So that'll drop sometime probably middle to late March.
March Madness.
We'll get that. Yeah. We'll get that episode out there.
Love it.
So it's coming together.
It's
going
to be a lot of fun.
All right. So I heard are you guys okay if I take the magical scenario?
Why not?
Yeah. All right. So I heard one the other day. I'm going to steal it. It was on a reel or something like that on Instagram. Anyways, what it is this. If you won a lottery or some type of shopping spree or whatever, you can either have free hotel stays at Disney World for the rest of your life, or free food at Disney World for the rest of your life. Which of those two options would you choose?
No, it's easy.
I think that's easy too.
What?
Yeah, it's the hotel, no doubt. I mean, just from a cost factor alone, no comparison.
Wow. You're going hotel as well?
Yeah, right? For the exact same reason. I think just the cost factor.
I mean, you're saying free hotel stays, like any room, any hotel I want?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy, yeah. Right? Wow. I mean,
I'd
be staying in a bungalow at the Polynesian or one of the Grand Villas elsewhere at the Grand Floridian. Like, how do you not just do that? I mean, shoot, I don't have to go to the parks even. I just sit on my balcony and look at the park, and I'd be happy.
Yeah.
To watch the electrical parade go by on Bay Lake, you know?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So I think the question, if you start adding in, all right, who's in your party? Is it just your family? Because if it's just me and my family, so there's five of us, you know, the debate would be if it's a value resort like Pop Century versus food for the entire family. We've done this topic before. We've talked about it during our
okay, let's do that. Let's dial it down. So not the Grand Floridian. Let's dial it down to, you can have a value resort free stay going forward. So you got Pop, you got
Art,
All-Star, Art, and that's it.
That's right? It.
So those three.
I've never stayed at any one of those.
Or you have free food at Disney.
See, for me, that changes things because I have stayed at Pop.
That makes it a little bit more challenging.
And Pop is nice, but for a family of five, would be a little tight because that'd be two rooms, right?
Well, what restrictions are you going to put on the free food now?
Yeah,
you're going to put the restriction on the hotel. You got to.
All right. So no. Okay.
Like I right. I could eat at Le Cellier every night.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So no. Like, let's say no. I don't know.
No ADR restaurants or?
No, I think there's some ADR restaurants, advanced dining restaurants you could take in. No, none of your, like, what we would maybe classify as a signature, so Le Cellier, Boathouse, something you're going to drop $100 a person on, those are out.
That'd be tough. I think.
Yeah, you could persuade me. Look, I've never stayed at Pop Art. What's the other one? All-Star. I've never stayed there, so I actually don't have a frame of reference for even what the experience is like. To tell you the truth,
if you're telling me I could have a Boma for breakfast every day,
yes,
and then La Hacienda San Angel for dinner at night, I probably would choose that over a place like Pop.
Yeah, but I think I agree with that.
Yeah,
now.
But yeah, we get into the moderate resorts. I probably would choose those over the food.
Okay. So that's your line. You could have free moderate resort stays over food.
Yeah.
I think that would be my line as well. That's where I would
I'm not sure. I mean, I actually might have to draw the line probably at a deluxe, really? Right? I mean, you know, I think the moderates and I've had some great stays at some of the moderates, but I think about, you know, Coronado Springs, you know, it's a lot of exterior entry door. I mean, that's what you're going to get at some of the moderates, especially, if the deluxe is in there, then it becomes really easy. And I think obviously from the price point, that makes a lot of sense. From the moderates, like if you're telling me I can go to pretty much everything except the top signatures, there's so much to choose from that makes a lot of sense too.
Man, how great would it be though if you just had this like card or if they pre-programmed it onto your Magic Band or something like that and you're just like, I'll take six Mickey ice cream bars.
You and your Mickey ice cream bars. Yeah,
walk down to the next cart. Yes, I'll take six popcorns. How cool would that be?
Would you like a roll of toilet paper to go with that?
You walk into Ohana's. Yes, a table of six, please. Yeah. Yes, sir. Mr. Van Orden, we have your table right over here, special for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And today you will be privately entertained by Chip.
Well, unless
Dale is busy.
You know, there is a world where that does exist.
Yeah, yeah.
For,
I'm sure
for
it
some
is.
People.
Yeah.
For some people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not us.
Not us.
Not us. Yeah, I think it would be hard. I'm just, you know, I guess what I'm coming down to is when you're looking at the moderate and the values, you're looking at, you've got one room, couple of beds and a bathroom. That's it.
Yeah.
I was thinking in terms of, look, I've stayed at these nicer ones where we've got a 2 and a 3 room suite and I could live there and yeah. be happy.
Yeah.
Like full time, yeah. honestly. Right. So I don't know.
Cool.
I like it.
All right. Great show today. Glad we knocked out Epcot.
Yeah, me too. So check us out on our social media feeds. We are at Escape to the Magic Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And we are coming to you every Wednesday morning with a brand new episode.
And if you want to, we spend a little time talking about this, but if you want to take some of these experiences home with you, like the Orange Grove
I do
in Soarin' Over California, you can do that.
Talk to me, Goose. How do I do it?
Escape to
the magic by going to
the magic podcast. No, it's the Magic Candle Company.
Yes,
it's our friends at the Magic Candle Company. You actually can get the Orange Grove scent from Soarin' Over California. You can get it in a candle. You can get it in a little perfume bottle. You can get it in a soap.
Yes,
and if you use our promo code Escape, you can get it for cheaper.
Yeah, that's right.
15% off.
Nice. All right, great show, guys. Looking forward to it.
Yep, until next time.
Bye.